And you may be seated. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. In chapter 11. So chapter 11 is a short chapter, and we tackled 6 verses last week, and so we're going to be looking at verses 7 through 10 this week. And I've kind of made this a part 2 of what it means to live in uncertain times. There are many times in life where we live in uncertainty. And in these first 6 verses, we saw the phrase often, "you do not know," which was repeated. And we considered 3 ways that the preacher, Koheleth, instructed for living in uncertain times. First, we ought to live generously. Second, we ought to live industriously. And then third, we are to live faithfully. And really, that instruction goes against the natural inclination to keep back and to withhold, to become complacent and indecisive in decision making, and then to lean on our own strength, our own understanding. But remembering the great theme of this book, that everything is vanity, everything is hevel, our time on this earth is fleeting. We can live by trusting in our sovereign God. We can live for Him because of Him. And this is great encouragement for Christians living all over the world in times of uncertainty, but maybe even living under the threat of harm. There is one who is always certain in times of uncertainty, who we can put our faith and trust in always. So with this background of uncertainty still in view, the preacher then continues to advise the God-fearing man and woman, young man, young lady. And he brings into the discussion now 2 distinct vantage points. He looks at living life from the young person's point of view. And then he also speaks to those who are on the other end of the spectrum, living in the latter days of life. So if you don't mind, if you stand with me, I'm going to read chapter 11, verses 1 through 10, but we will consider 7 through 10 in the message. Please stand. "Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 or even to 8, for you know not what disaster may happen on earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the way the spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. In the morning, sow your seed, and at evening, withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body. For youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word, and we thank you, Lord, for this perspective that your word gives us on life. We pray that this word would be a blessing to your people, that it would minister to each one where they're at in life, that you may be glorified in all. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. So Koheleth, the preacher here, wants us to live generously, to work hard, and to live faithfully in times of uncertainty. And now he tells us to live joyfully. Our text begins verse 7. Life is sweet and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So what he's saying basically is that life is good. Light versus the darkness motif, good versus evil. We consider the source of light that's coming from the sun, and we can think of all the benefits to life. The word for sweet is the same word that's used to describe the sweetness of honey. It's the word that Samson used in the riddle of the honey being inside the lion. And so life is enjoyable. Light is enjoyable. It's enlivening. It's sweet. And even when Jonathan ate the honey, the Bible says that his eyes became bright. So we think of strength. We think of life, energy. And for pleasure, for the sweetness, then we can think of a beautiful sunrise. Before the sun rises, it's dark, might even be cold. But when the sun comes up and you see the beauty of that sunrise with your eyes and you feel the warmth of that sun glow on your face, so also is this a natural beauty to be understood as a metaphor of life. Our church has been so blessed now to recently have all these newborns amongst us And it's so much fun just to see them with their little heads bobbing around and their eyes just looking and just taking everything in and just soaking it up. Live joyfully. Life is good. And the preacher exhorting us to enjoy life, verse 8, says, so if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. Life is sure. However many days or years or decades that the Lord has set for us, we ought to enjoy them all. It seems when we're young, we want to be older so fast. And then the older we get, we want for time to slow down. So whether life moves too slowly or too quickly, enjoy each day. Why? Because life is short. Verse 8 continues, let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. So the brevity of life is a reminder that we ought to rejoice in the time that we're alive. When the light goes out, the darkness of days are many, meaning that life on earth is over. Time's up. Remember, the preacher addressed this earlier in chapter 9, verses 4 and 5. He says, he who is joined with all the living has hope, For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. So life is brief. Vapor, vanity, hevel. And so live life, enjoy life, rejoice, be grateful for as many days as you have been given. I look back at my own life and I know that I'm only here because of the grace of God. I've been in the back of a pickup, and by the back, I mean the bed of the pickup, with a bunch of other kids. We were coming back from a camp and the wheel took off the truck, and we said, wow, look at that wheel rolling by. And then we realized that's our truck's wheel. I've been on a school bus in the ice in Houston where we did a 360. Not all at once, mind you. We did a 180, and we could then see an 18-wheeler coming down on us. And by God's grace, it started to slow down, and it weaved to slow other traffic because it knew we were not facing the right way. And one thing I remember is my uncle just shouted at the top. He was driving the bus. It was a little short bus. And I just remembered him screaming out at the top of his voice, "The blood of Jesus." And all I could remember me screaming out at the top of my voice was, "I'm going to die." Wow. And of course, we had our most recent famous trip to Houston, where we were driving, and again, the tire decided to leave our minivan, and I was driving on the axle to get off the highway. And all I can say is, praise God. Praise God. And thank God for this life, because I've been born in a time where we have medical knowledge and advancement. I could have been dead from a misdiagnosed appendicitis. I could have had been dead from a tooth abscess that I needed to have oral surgery to fix. Life is crazy. Life is beautiful. Life is short, no matter how many years you've been alive. And so live joyfully. Live joyfully. Maybe one day you'll have a story to share about how you almost shot your foot off. Or not. Life is uncertain. Our days are uncertain. And so, yes, live joyfully, enjoy life, but also the preacher would have us to live judiciously. We must live life, be grateful, but live it up, but not in a foolish manner. Verse 9 says, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth." So here we begin to look at life from this different age perspective. Young man, young lady, children, be happy and joyful that you're young. You are strong. You are flexible. You heal quickly. You're fast. You have energy. These are all great things to be thankful for. Be of good cheer. One day you'll get to drive. One day you'll have more responsibilities. But for now, enjoy your youth. When I was growing up, I would ask my mom or dad, "Can I go outside and play?" And, you know, if they gave me permission, I was like, yes. And I was out the door, and the door slammed just as I heard when I was supposed to be back. You know, couldn't wait to get outside and play. And now we have to ground the kids from their gizmos and beg them to go outside and play. Young people, there's more to life than screens. Get out there, enjoy it. Live life, enjoy your youth. Verse 8 continues, "Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes." Now that may sound like a bit of a dangerous statement to tell the youth. Hey, Live life. Go after the ways of your heart. And whatever sight your eyes see. And, you know, maybe all the parents are saying, excuse me, what? Especially if you've had teenagers. We know the verse in the Bible, Jeremiah 17:9, that says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? And then when God told the Israelites to make tassels on their garments to remind them, he says, speak to the people of Israel and tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations and to put a cord of blue on the tassel of each corner. And it shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord, to do them, not to follow after your own heart and your own eyes, which you are inclined to war after. So shall you remember and do all my commandments and be holy to your God. So here, God is saying, you know, you need to remember not to go after your own heart and after what your own eyes see. Obviously, our text cannot be in conflict with what God has said. And let me tell you, it's not. The Word of God does not contradict itself. We saw how Israel continued to violate God's command, and in the time of the judges, they continued by doing what was right in their own eyes. And God used the judges and he used his prophets continually to call the people of God back to repentance for disobeying his commands and following their own ways. So what does our text mean then? So once again, the instruction is not for the youth to be foolish, to live hedonistically, to experiment with sin. No, it's most definitely not what our text is saying. So then, how does a young person or a child walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes in a non-sinful way? Well, this should be understood in a joyful manner in which the youth begin to experience the good things in life, things which are wholesome, things which we have been given to enjoy. Think of the wonder and joy of the face of a child when they first learn to ride their bicycle without training wheels. Or the way that the baby's eyes light up when they see their first birthday cake. And they take a handful and then they smash it right into their face. What joy, what discovery. I remember I had an uncle who came to visit us from Mexico, and he was Theo Chepe. He was my mom's uncle, but to us he was also Theo. And one day he came to the house, and my brother and my sister and I are sitting there, and he asked us, do you like root beer? And we were like, yeah. And he said, do you like ice cream? And we were like, yeah, of course. And he took a scoop of ice cream and he put it into a glass. And then he took that root beer and he poured it over the top, and our eyes are just bugging out. And we're seeing this foam up and come over the top. And then we drank some of it, and our minds, our taste buds were blown away. It was amazing. And just the memory of that, you know, just the experience of that, you know, it's just what joy. Where has this root beer float been all my life? This is the kind of discovery, the kind of the wonder of life. What it is to discover and enjoy the things that God has given us to enjoy in this life. And so, enjoy life, but do so in a judicious way. We're encouraged to enjoy life, to enjoy our youth, because life is brief. We must be judicious because the end of verse 8 also warns us, know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. You see, not every discovery, not everything is worth pursuing. There are things which will entrap us. This is why God has given us, in His wisdom, He's given us His Word. And He's given us parents. And He's given us boundaries. Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. Yes, because they disobeyed God, but because they would not honor the restriction that God had made. He had set the boundary. To live a life happy, content, and full, they did not need to know or have the knowledge of good and evil. They did not need to eat of that tree. He had given them every other tree in the garden, even the tree of life. But they pushed past the safe boundary that God had placed, and they fell into sin and misery, and thereby plunged all of Adam's posterity into sin. And so we find, under this section of living judiciously, the principle of finishing well. You see, time passes. We grow up. Soon enough, our days of youth are behind us. We become responsible for our actions, our decisions, and the consequences of them. The preacher gets at this in his final verse as he wisely counsels, verse 10, remove vexation from your heart. Put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. We live life as a youth. We're encouraged to rejoice in our youth, to enjoy the discovery and the excitement that it brings. But it's not long before we look in the mirror and we stare back at our father or our mother or some old man, some old woman. And we say, what happened? We got old. Older. And so the preacher has a word for those of us on the other side of youth. Remove vexation from your heart. There's no sense in being frustrated and annoyed. Time flies. Life moves rather quickly. Why waste time being frustrated and brooding over things in the past? You can't change it. You can't undo it. Why tie up so much energy and time, emotions, or anything else? See, this is typically problems that older folks have in life. Holding on to wrongs or slights. Proverbs 12:16 says, the vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult. See that? Remove that vexation, the anger, the bitterness, grief from your heart. Life is short. The older person is also advised to put away pain from your body. And maybe some of us identify with this one and they say, amen, I'm trying to put pain away all the time. I take aspirin, Tylenol, Advil, Aleve, etc. But the word in the Hebrew for pain here is more literally translated as evil. And evil can certainly be a cause of pain. Great pain even. Put off evil. Put away evil from the carnal desires. Paul gets at this precisely when he writes to the Corinthian church. He says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? What fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share
with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. And God, as God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. Paul exhorted Timothy to preach the word, to raise godly leaders in the church, and to not disqualify his own ministry. Notice how in this passage he charges Timothy in light of those who were false teachers. He says to Timothy, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal. Okay? God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal. Now, see if you bear this seal. The Lord knows whose are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. That's his seal. Now, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable use. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So, flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. From a pure heart. Some of us are older in age. Some of us are older in the faith. And still, we must be reminded to put away and put off fleshly desires, to put away evil, to purge away the evil from you. The longer we live, the closer we come to our end. And many of us in this room, we know we aren't spring chickens anymore. We're old hens, or we're cranky roosters. But we need to live well, and we need to finish well. Check your hearts. Are you harboring ill feeling, vexation, and anger? Get rid of it. You must if you want to finish well. Do you have evil sin that you're tolerating? As John Owen said, be killing sin, or sin will be killing you. If you desire to finish well, run the race in such a way as to win. The writer of Hebrews says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God.
As we near the end of our race, as we near the finish line, may we say, like Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Maybe you're here this morning and you're young, one of the young ones. You're a youth. Live well. Live joyfully. Life is good. Life is short. Also live judiciously. Enjoy your youth. Enjoy the newness of discovery. But remember, we will all give an accounting of our lives before our Maker. And for those of us on the other end of the spectrum, examine your hearts. Remove anger, vexation, and evil. Live for God and finish well. In the words of Ferris Bueller, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. In the words of Scripture, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to attain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled, that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. Give your life to the Lord. Repent and believe. Jesus died to take away our sins, that we may be forgiven and reconciled to God. Turn away from sin and turn to Jesus. He's raised on the third day, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, and now intercedes for all who will come to faith. Repent and believe, and enjoy the life that God has given you. And the newness of life in Christ, eternal life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word and this reminder that life is but a breath, but a vapor, a mist. Thank you for reminding us to enjoy the life that you have given us, to be thankful and grateful for your provisions and your care. Thank you, Lord, for the many times which I should have been dead, but by your grace, I'm not. Thank you because I was dead in my trespasses. But because of your grace and love, mercy and kindness, you opened my eyes to see my need for the Savior, to repent of my sins, to believe upon Jesus alone for my salvation. God, we thank you for such a great salvation. We bless your name, Lord. May we encourage the youth, and may we be encouraged as those who are no longer youth. We long to enjoy the eternal life with you and the life to come. We give you all praise in your name. Amen.